But honestly, that isn't what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It is not in Matthew 3:11, I think is where I read from. It is not salvation. So we're on the fifth thing. No? V and a one. Sixth thing. If you got a one and a V, that's four. Alright, anyway, on the day of Pentecost, there were three manifestations of the Holy Spirit. There was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues. It was other languages, which we don't do anymore. You ever meet anybody that spoke in tongues? You probably, well, just leave them alone. It's better off that you don't even start it with them. It don't hurt you if they do it. It ain't going to do much good. But I had a lady bless me out here one time at, VBS. She used her hat. And she... And I'm like, huh? And Sammy is looking at me like, what? You just don't fool with it. But that ended when the Bible was complete. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All of that stuff, the sign gifts stopped, the healings, where the apostles could go up and heal, and all of that ceased. That come to a halt because it was all signs for who? I ain't heard the right word yet. Starts with a J. The Jews. Listen, they're the ones that had to have a sign. The Jews needed a sign. And that was the whole idea of the sign gifts, was to show the Jews. If you don't want to know and learn, you just don't figure it out. What is it Paul said? If a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I love that saying. When I meet somebody that's just stubborn, they don't want to listen to you, I just think, well, the man wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So they didn't really want to accept Jesus. That's sad. But we got a world like that today. Let me get on with it. In understanding the scriptures, it's important not to confuse these three manifestations of the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was a one-time event that happened, and it was never repeated again. It didn't happen anymore. You won't find it anywhere else in the Word of God. There was no need for the baptism to be repeated, really, since it brought the gift of the Spirit of Himself to abide with His churches forever. It wasn't just for the church there at Jerusalem. They were gathered in the upper room, and when they came out and Peter and them preached, and they saw the little tongues of fiery tongues, as it were, fiery tongues. They saw that, and these guys could, as they were speaking, Peter might have spoke Hebrew, but then he might have spoke Koine Greek, but everybody out there, which were from all over the world at that time, the known world, they heard it in their own language. That's what it was talking about. It wasn't some gibberish of what we hear today. It was just the fact that I'm speaking English, Ramona would have heard it in Spanish. And Sandy would have heard it in Southern. Because I speak Southern. I'm not even good at that. But anyway, but when it fell upon the church, it was to empower the church. That was the whole idea of the Holy Spirit, was to empower the church. And it stays with us let me back up. Would I be okay to say that it stays with us until we're raptured? Because eventually, the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of here. And guess what? The Holy Spirit indwells in every believer
when you get saved, when a person realizes that they're lost and they're on the way to hell, and whether a person believes in hell or not, that's their problem, not mine.
God said there is a hell. Jesus spoke a lot about hell. It's a place of eternal suffering. It's a place of darkness. It's not like AC/DC, Bon Scott, Highway to Hell, and when we get there, we're going to have a party. Listen, poor old Bon Scott died and went there, unless he was saved. He died and went there before the song came out on the radio. Is there going to be a big party? There ain't going to be no party. In the Bible, the rich man in hell, in torment, lifted up his eyes, and he was in bad shape. That ain't a place that I want to go. I've never met anybody up until recently that sounds funny, but that's true. I never met anybody that really wanted to go to hell. Up until recently, I've had people say, well, I'm going to hell. I'm going to be there with all my friends. If they trusted the Lord, they ain't going to be there. But like I said, it ain't a big party place. But what happens is when a person realizes that they're not going to get to heaven on their own merits, they're not going to get to heaven because grandma said they would, they're not going to get to heaven because some silly pastor come up and said, you're going to heaven. You know, I was preaching in jail. That sounds funny. But I was at the jail preaching. I wasn't a part of the jail. Well, I was for a little bit. But anyway, we won't get into all that. When I was there preaching to these guys, one of them come to me and said, well, Brother Jim, I don't have to ask Jesus to save me. I said, why? He said, because the preacher that was here the other day laid his hand on my shoulder and then said, I saved. I said, look, dude, that ain't going to get it. I said, it's nothing anybody can do but yourself. You just have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to save you, and He will. There's a repentance to that. Now, you know, somebody said that to me the other day. We were talking, but honestly, that's one of the biggest problems in our world today are people aren't realizing there's repentance involved in that. There's a realizing that, hey, I am a sinner. Listen, I'm a saved sinner. By gosh, I save every day. I know you don't, but I do. I'm saved every day. I sin every day. Excuse me, did I say that? I do. I sin every day. If I got to the point I don't sin, I ain't here no more. I'm with Jesus in heaven. That's where we'll be perfect. I don't go out wanting to sin. I don't go out in public saying, oh, I want to sin. No, but I do mess up. I had somebody about hit me in the parking lot the other day. I told you that this morning. One of them little Cracker Jack box cars. And I thought some things real quick. And I'm like, sorry, Lord. You know, things happen. It's not what we want to do, but we're sinners saved by grace. Amen? I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I realized at a point in my life in Corpus Christi, Texas, that, hey, guess what? There is nothing I can do to get to heaven short of repenting of my wrong, short of admitting to the Lord that, listen, I know I'm a wretched individual. I'm sorry as the day is long. But because He died on the cross for me, I can ask Jesus to save me. And He said He would, no matter how bad you are. And listen, if He can save me, and if He can save the Apostle Paul, and Lord knows if He can save Brother Larry, He can save anybody. I've been with Brother Tom in his boat with a hole in it. Listen, you go fishing, Brother Tom, make sure you're saved. Because he gets you out in the middle of the lake before he tells you that it's got a hole in it. Who will vouch for it? You ride with me, you need to know the Lord. Amen. There you go. Hey, I'm a great driver. Anyway, I got to get back to where I was at. I'm chasing rabbits, is what I'll be told later, by two Sandys. I got two Sandys now to do that.
They both tell me, you chase rabbits. I'm like, well, you know. But the Spirit come down and empowered the church. And then there was that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that the prophet John was talking about. But then there was a filling of the Spirit. On the other hand, it's an ongoing experience. Go to the book of Ephesians.
Oh, thank you, Brother Jim. We're going to finally open the Bible, yeah?
Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18, he says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." In other words, in control totally. That's what we're wanting. When we allow the Spirit to fill us with that, you already got Him, okay? But when we allow Him to have full control, that is so important. If I could go through my everyday life with Him in full control, it would be so good. But we can't always do that. You understand what and he uses alcohol. It's funny that Paul did that, but the Holy Spirit gave him direction to do it. You can set you a bottle of Jack Daniels right here, and you can take a little sip out of here, and it unless you got that $50 bottle, it burns a little bit. But you're not controlled by that. But you drink that whole fifth. Now you're controlled by it. Trust me, you'll do things that you didn't know you could do. And later on, people will laugh and say, yeah, but you didn't. But you think you did. It'll make you 10 foot tall and bulletproof. It's controlling you. That's what you want the Holy Spirit to do. You want the Holy Spirit to control you constantly. The best way to do that is to continue building a relationship with the Lord. And we got to keep striving for that. Faithful ones are filled with the Holy Spirit when the proper condition is met. There's a proper condition. And the need arises to accomplish a particular task that God wants us to do, such as preaching. My wife, she'll say, "Oh, I saw you up here today. You was preaching in the flesh." Or should say, use preaching in the Spirit. See, when a preacher is preaching, sometimes he'll step over the line there and throw in something that, and she'll look at me like, "That was Jim." I'm like, "Yeah, I know," and it is that way. But what we desire for is to constantly be controlled by the Spirit. But preaching and teachers do the same thing. The more a person studies that whatever they're going to teach, the more they study, the more prayer time they're spent in the teaching or the preaching of the Word, the more the Holy Spirit comes in. And the more you can tell yourself, you can tell. Witnessing, testifying. Let me go to the witnessing. You just walk up to somebody, "Hey, you going to heaven? Let me tell you how to get to heaven." I ain't sure that's the way to do it. I'm going to be honest with you. I've talked to some people and they're like, "Get out of my face." But if I ask the Lord to help me witnessing to an individual, the Lord will usually bring me somebody that's willing to hear what I've got to say. Amen. We were in Target the other day. Believe it or not, I went in that communist store. They don't support veterans. But anyway, I went in there and we're talking to this young lady, her and her little boy. We're discussing things about the mask and about this and that. She said, "Well, it's so ridiculous," and she had a problem with it. And I do too.
and I didn't have one on. So we were talking about it. And the Lord laid it on my heart not to say anything. We had not mentioned church, period. And the Lord laid it on my heart, just give her a card. One of my little cards, my business card, and I went here. And, oh, we've been talking about going to church. You guys are having church. She didn't come today. That don't mean nothing. She may, maybe 6 months from now. But there's a possibility she'll come. But on the back of that card is Romans 10, 9, and 10. There's a possibility she may read that and she may accept the Lord as your Savior. See, I just was prompted by the Holy Spirit. Hand her a card. That's what I'm talking about. We need to follow Him. Testifying. I was in here preaching one Sunday. I was fired up, standing right about where Brother Kevin's sitting. Well, actually, I think it was that chair, one in front of me. Miss Annie's sitting there, and she's over there praying while I'm preaching. I'm here, she's over there, help him, Lord, help him. Right there, Lord, help him. And all of a sudden, she just blurted out how she had trusted the Lord as her Savior. The Holy Spirit was working with her, and she was allowing the Holy Spirit to come out and to guide her in what to do. Let me tell you, if you could have heard a pin drop in here. But that was testifying. She was happy. You know, she died, what, about 6 months after that? She passed away. And the Lord took her home. But the way I kind of figured that is, hey, the Lord wanted her to tell everybody at least one more time how she got saved. That was a real blessing. I'll never forget that. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Now, Peter, so if anybody ever said, well, you're only filled with the Holy Spirit once and when you get saved. Uh-uh. Peter was already saved. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was already filled with the Holy Spirit before. It was starting, it was gaining control and it giving that extra boost. Man, when I get filled with the Holy Spirit sometimes, I get that extra boost. I can feel it. And it's like He's opening a door for me. It's amazing. Look at verse 31 of chapter 4. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Listen, you might be a little timid with certain things. But when you might be a little weak in your area of talking, but when the Holy Spirit takes control, you don't even worry about it. You don't even worry about who's around. You let them know. Look at Acts chapter 13. That's right after 12. Common Core could be after 20, but we're not Common Core. Verse 9 of Acts 13. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew. Am I in the right verse here? No, I'm not. I got to read verse 9. Then, you know what? I need to do that. And when they had, verse 6, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, that's why the Lord had me do that, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. In other words, he was giving them grief, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Listen, you don't want him to get saved. That's what you want to do. You want to turn him away. Then Paul, Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, if Paul had not have been filled with the Holy Ghost, the next verses wouldn't have been written. Because we're looking at, here Saul is, Paul, however you want to say it right now. Here he is in this area. He's going to witness to a sheriff. He's got a sorcerer that is against that idea because you don't want to get this guy saved. And Paul's looking at possibly, man, he could go to jail. Maybe even worse. But it says, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I like this. Set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? when the Holy Ghost fills you, you don't mind saying what he says, say to whoever. Doesn't matter what the consequences are going to be, he's going to say it. The Lord will take care of you. He took care of Paul. Notice, let's look at we skipped that one. Acts chapter 7, back up a few verses, verse 55. Acts chapter 7, 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's when they stoned Stephen. That he was full of the Holy Ghost. By the way, when Jesus went to heaven, it said he did what on the right hand of God? He sat down. Stephen said he was standing. Listen, Stephen was being stoned to death, and I believe what he saw was Jesus stand up and say, come on home, brother. Because he was dying. I don't know that. But I believe when a saint dies, and by the way, saints are all that are saved. I believe Jesus stands up and welcomes them home. And you come on. Faithful ones of the Old Testament were also filled with the Holy Spirit. When the proper conditions were met and the need arose. Zacharias, Old Testament priest, he was also the father of John the Baptist. He was filled with the Spirit and he prophesied. Luke chapter 1. Let's go over to Luke. Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Somewhere in there. It's in the New Testament. Luke chapter 1 and verse 67, the Word of God says, and the father and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Wow. That's good when the Lord fills you. Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke 1, 41 and 42. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. In other words, Mary, the mother of Jesus,
She was pregnant. Sarah was already pregnant. Elizabeth. She was already pregnant with John the Baptist, which is Jesus' cousin, by the way. And Mary came to him and said, guess what? And she was about 6 months pregnant. So I'm picturing her. There it is, looked like a beach whale out there. There it is, and all of a sudden, hey, said he jumped. You ever what? I always thought that was so neat. When my wife was pregnant, and you look over there at her, and it's like, what am I? And the foot just cramming its way up to here, and it's not coming up. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Back down there. You ain't coming out yet. You know, and then there's a knot coming. And sometimes she'd be flat over here. And I'm like, she bloated, looked like an old cow, you know. And I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble now. But can you imagine the babe leaping in your womb? Can you imagine it? You moms that are, she's sitting there pregnant right now, this one. Arrogant. Can you imagine you're sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, be like, whoa. That's what happened. And she got excited. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and, oh, I bet you she had a glow to her. The third manifestation that we'll look at, the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost was speaking in tongues. This was a gift from the Holy Spirit. This gift was given for a very important specific purpose, which we'll look at in a bit more diligently, I'll say. But it was for the, it would, honestly, you know, you heard people say, well, Jesus can't come back until all the world turns to God. Guess what? That already happened on the day of Pentecost. It went out to the whole world and they heard it in their own language. Because see, I'll use Ramona because she's told me this before. Ramona speaks Spanish. That's her first language. She's taught me some. I won't say. No, I'm kidding. She's taught me a little Spanish. I'm trying to get her to teach me more Spanish. She always teaches me the bad words, though. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. I really am. But she's told me that she understands things better in her own language because she speaks English fluently. She speaks English as good as I do. That ain't saying much. I'm sorry, but. But she speaks English, but she has to analyze it more when it's in English. You see, when that day, because all of those people in that day, because of Alexander the Great, to be honest with you, that he had no idea in 200 and something B.C. that he was being used by the Lord or whatever, wherever that was back then. Whenever he took over a place, he required they all spoke Greek. And it was Koine Greek, they called it. It was the common language of the Greek people. Well, the Romans kept that. And that day, everybody spoke Greek. But because of the fact that, like Ramona, she speaks Spanish, that was her first language, she understands it better in Spanish. She doesn't have to go over a word so many times. That was the same way those guys were. When they heard the language and it came out in their own language, there was no excuse to say, well, I didn't quite get it. No, because it was in their language. They understood it totally. The Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, went out unto all the world that day. What a blessing that was that it took place. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God gave His church this word, dunamis,
And it means dynamic power and might. Listen, when the word dynamite was derived, the word dynamite was derived from this Greek word. Everybody in here knows what dynamite is. It'll blow up. You know, we found some when we was a kid in a box in an old shed. But I knew not to mess with it because my dad was, he was a Marine and he was a UDP, underwater demolition team, and he had explained to me over the years how just the sweat off of that thing was wild. You know, and I'm like, when we found that box, I'm like, whoa, we don't want to mess with it. Oh, I wanted to mess with it, trust me. Man, I wanted to pick that up so bad. But I had listened to my dad enough that I knew, don't touch that dynamite. And I told the boys, we don't want to mess with this. I said, this could be, you know, at that point in time, it's hard to say what I said. But anyway, I said, we don't want to die today. And I went and told my dad, and of course, they figured out who it belonged to. It was an old man and that was a farmer, and he had left it in that old shed. And it was grown up out in the woods. We were just out in the woods bebopping around and run across this old shed. And they took it out of there, which probably is the reason I'm still standing here today. The Lord seeing to it, because eventually we would have had to go back and try it. You know, No, you light it. You know, that's the way they fish in the South. They fish with dynamite, even when the game warden shows up. And they say, that's illegal. You can't fish with dynamite. You light one of them and hand it to him and say, you going to talk or fish? They'll usually fish. Then they can't write you a ticket. Anyway, all right, I'm going to go on. So that same word, that same dynamic power, I'll say, abides in a New Testament church. The same power that it took to bring the Lord Jesus from the grave is what the church has at its disposal. That's amazing. The greatest power in the world today is seen as the Holy Spirit works in and through a New Testament church. It changes hearts. It'll change characters. Lives of those that yielded to Him, conforming them to the image of the Son. Look at Ephesians. We're going to be done here in a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. The Word of God is amazing. The Holy Spirit. Prayers from the church. It is amazing what can be accomplished with that. Somewhere is Ephesians in this Bible. My hand, I'm losing my fingerprints or something, I don't know. Yeah, you're right, 1249, there we go. Ephesians chapter 1, you got the real Bible. I'll explain that later. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Look at chapter 3, verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Look at verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages without end. Amen. Listen, there is nothing more powerful on the face of this earth that we can even imagine than a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. It has shaken jails. You know, one of my favorite stories is Peter. He gets thrown in jail. They killed James, chopped his head off, gone. They didn't use Pakistan steel. They had to have been using the good stuff. Sliced his head off, and they had intentions of doing the same thing to Peter. And they waited till he waited, Herod waited till after Easter. He said, I'm going to wait. But he liked what he saw in the people because they killed James, and he's like, oh, they like that. And he had Peter locked up, and it says the church prayed. And guess what happened? An angel showed up. They say, well, that's the angel that got Peter out. Yeah. But prayers who got the angel to come down from heaven. He walks in there and he says, Peter, you need to get up, man. Let's go. And he got up and left. And he was in a daze. He's like, what? What are we doing here? And when he finally got outside, the angel said, see, you're on your own now. Get up, you know. He was like, oh, wow. I'm out of jail. And he went over there, and the little old gal Rhoda, she comes to the gate. She runs back in. It's his spirit. Peter's out here. What? You're crazy. No, Peter's out here. He's not even eating in. She didn't open the door. You see what prayer can do? Prayer in the church, when a church is in unity, one accord, listen, they can rock the world, man. Amen. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We just don't use it enough.